Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts. My name is Pete Burak. I am filling in for Rachel Herbeck today. As I mentioned yesterday, Rachel is, as we are recording this, still blessing the people of God in the far-off land of Rwanda. And man, I have to tell you, I'm excited. I hope she shares with you all some of the blessings and the stories that have come from this mission trip, because the videos that she sent to me and some of the stories and testimonies will really blow your mind. The Lord is doing amazing things over there in and through her and the team at Renewal Ministries, and we're very grateful that she has this opportunity. And I'm very grateful to be able to be with you this week. So this is Tuesday. If you listened yesterday, which I'm sure all of you did because you're such faithful listeners to the show, but if you listened yesterday, you know that we are embarking on a five-day journey of looking at some parables. Not all the parables, but five particular parables. Actually, if I'm being honest, it's five and a half, because one of the days we're going to look at two parables. But the point is, we're looking at some parables, and the inspiration for this came from my time going to Father Mike Schmitz's parables tour, which was an incredible experience. He did an excellent job, and I've intentionally picked five different parables so that if you go see him, you can be, you know, equally inspired as I was, and that way I'm also not kind of swiping his idea. So we're just going to build off of kind of the framework that he built of looking at these parables and trying to pull out a particular truth. What is Jesus revealing in these stories? And it's worth noting, and I didn't really note it yesterday, so it's worth noting today that Jesus is brilliant in his construction of these stories, in his utilization of these stories, which of course is an obvious thing to say. You know, the second person of the Blessed Trinity is beyond brilliant. But what Jesus is understanding is that the use of story has a particular effect on people. It's one thing to kind of learn something in the abstract. It's one thing to look at stats or facts. It's a whole other thing to be confronted with a story. When we enter into a story, we actually physiologically react to it differently than facts and stats. And so Jesus recognizes this, and so utilizes these stories because they illustrate particular truths, but do it in a way that both is relevant to the people who are listening, but also forces you to consider what point is he trying to make. And actually, in the Gospels, Jesus makes the point that he's speaking in parables so as to, in some ways, keep some of this hidden or hard to understand so that those who really want it and are hungry for the truth will pursue it and find it, and those who are closed-hearted and not interested will not, which is some of the mysterious plan of the Lord to say that he has come to reveal himself. He's come to reveal the truth about who he is and what we're made for and where we're going. And he desires that all would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But in his humility, he's saying, do you want it? Are you looking for the truth? Or are you persisting in pride, persisting in sin, and therefore closed off, hard-hearted towards the truth and unwilling, unable, and kind of cut off from the Lord and not capable of walking this path of truth and coming to greater and greater understanding. So yesterday, we talked about the parable of the Good Samaritan. Today, we're going to talk about a very, very short parable. It's from Luke chapter 13, verse 18 and 19. Jesus said, therefore, what is the kingdom of God like? It's a compelling question, isn't it? What is the kingdom of God like? What does he say? And to what shall I compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his garden. And it grew and became a tree. And the birds of the air made nests in its branches. Okay. Short little parable there. He compares the kingdom of God to a mustard seed. Have you ever seen a mustard seed? A few years ago when I was thinking about mustard seeds, because of this parable and others. I looked it up online, but that wasn't very helpful because it really, you know, doesn't really give you a relative scale of what we're talking about. So eventually I found myself in a grocery store and found some mustard seeds. And turns out they are indeed very, very small. That shouldn't come as a surprise. Jesus actually talks about it. If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be uprooted and into the ocean, and it would do it. So he's making a really important point about the kingdom of God here. And again, like I said yesterday, when Jesus is making one point in a parable, he's not making every point in a parable. He's trying to make and highlight a specific truth so that we could lay hold of that in the context of everything that he's teaching. So what is he teaching here? He's saying that the kingdom of God grows from small, unnoticed, and hidden origins. Let me say that again. The kingdom of God expands and grows to the point where it's visible, fruitful, safe, and able to actually receive people. The birds come and nest in the mustard plant. It's able to do that from small, hidden, and unnoticed origins. Because how does the kingdom of God grow? The kingdom of God grows fundamentally in the hearts of those who have faith, of those who believe. So the kingdom is expanded through people responding to the truth, responding to the grace of God in their hearts with faith and saying yes to him. And it's hidden and it's small. And yes, there are tangible signs of that faith, whether that be the sacrament of baptism or the sacrament of confession, or when somebody is giving their life to the Lord, they may publicly express it. But at the end of the day, that turning of the heart towards God that fuels the kingdom growing, because the kingdom is fueled on conversion. The kingdom is expanded through human beings, through people, through souls coming to faith, entering into the family of God and beginning to live a new reality, because the kingdom is a different reality than the kingdom of the world. The kingdom of God is living by a different set of rules. It's living by a different set of origin, a different origin, a different destination, a different whole different perspective on life we find in the kingdom of God compared to the kingdom of the world. And where that begins, again, is not in a big, loud, dramatic kind of public expression. It's in the heart. It's a response in the heart. And so this small, unnoticed act of faith, this small, unnoticed, seemingly almost inconsequential response to God's grace has the potential, when watered, when fed, to grow and grow and become a tree that the birds of the air make nests in his branches. And what does that symbolize? It means that others may come and be blessed by that faith, that the kingdom of God expanded and extended through the hearts of believers becomes a place where others also enjoy that same benefit. So that little way, that hidden yes, is so significant to God. St. Therese of Lisieux is, you know, has popularized her what she called the little way of holiness, her little way of sanctity, where she was kind of lamenting or acknowledging that I'm not capable of doing great things, but I can do little things with great love. Mother Teresa picked up that same thing, this idea of in my heart, I'm going to be transformed. And as I'm more and more transformed in my heart, it will transform my behavior and it will be simple, small yeses to the Spirit. Yes, there are moments of big, grand, bold proclamation, big, grand, bold expressions of faith. But ultimately, the kingdom is built in the hearts of those who step by step, day by day, little by little, hidden moment by hidden moment, say yes to the Lord. Jesus loves little faith. Not little faith in terms of quantity, but little faith in terms of hidden and just authentic, true. It's like God's like, I'm not really measuring it. He's not looking at it saying, like, here, pour your faith into this bucket and we'll see what level it gets to. And if it's at a high enough level, then you'll be okay. It's like, do you even have a drop of faith? Do you even have an ounce of faith? Do you even just have a glance of faith? Because that glance of faith, that glance of openness to the Lord, he can use, and through his Spirit, he can do amazing things in your own heart and in those around you. I'm reminded of the, you know, that story, you've heard it before, where Jesus is has been preaching all day, and he sends his apostles in the boat to the other side of the lake, and he says, "I'll catch up with you." And so they're on their way across the lake, and a storm comes up, and it's the middle of the night, and they're like, "This isn't great." And then all of a sudden, they look across the water, and sure enough, what do they see? What they think is a ghost coming towards them, which really ruins their evening, right? And as he approaches, St. John acknowledges and kind of recognizes, "I think it's the Lord." And they're all kind of like, okay, this is good. And Peter's reaction is classic. It's classic Peter. You never know what you're going to get with Peter. But Peter sees this ghost-like figure who they think is Jesus. And his reaction is to say, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come out of the boat to you." Which, if you think about it, just on its face, is such a ridiculous thing to say. I mean, if I were one of the other apostles, I would have been like, "Peter, he is walking towards the boat. Just hang in there. He'll be here in a moment. Why do you need to go out to him?" The reason Peter wants to go out to him is because he knows that if it's actually Jesus, then there's no safer place to be than with him. There's no place he'd rather be than with Jesus, wherever it is, no matter how bizarre it might seem to be out on the water, how impossible it might seem. His perspective is, if that's Jesus, that's where I want to be. And Jesus, knowing that, is in his heart, says, "Come on out," which of course now forces Peter to make a decision. Is he going to get out of the boat, or is he going to stay in the boat? So I'd like to imagine at least that he walked to the edge of the boat, kind of climbed on the side, maybe started to test the water a little bit. And at some point, Peter takes a step of faith. His eyes fixed on Jesus, he begins to walk on the water towards Jesus. Now, you could argue that that's big faith, but it was a little acts of faith that led him to that moment. And now he is walking on water towards the Lord. And like so many of us, I think we've maybe had this experience in our life where we've gotten out of the boat, where we've encountered Jesus, and we've made a decision to want to follow him. And so we start to walk on water. We start to move in his direction. We have enough faith to kind of take the risk to follow him. And then all of a sudden, life gets in the way. The storms and the wind and the waves and our past sins and our current sins and the circumstances of our life and our bank account and our political situation and all sorts of things come into our focus. And instead of focusing on Jesus, we focus on them. And our eyes, which were fixed on Jesus, now are fixed on so many other things. And so like Peter, we begin to sink. And Peter's response is so critical here, friends. He begins to sink, and his first reaction is not to try to swim. It's not to turn back to the boat and ask for a life preserver. He doesn't call for a rope. He turns to Jesus and says, "Lord, save me." And this is my favorite part of the story. It says Jesus immediately stretched out his hand to save him and then says something very important to Peter. He says, "Peter, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Most of us read that passage as if Jesus is admonishing Peter. It's almost like he's angry at Peter. It's like, "Well, you know, Peter, I really wanted you to be the first pope, but your name means rock, so pew." You know, it's like Jesus is going to teach him a lesson. He's going to hold him under the water for a second. No, that's not what Jesus is doing. He's complimenting Peter. He's complimenting him. He's saying, "You of little faith, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed," Jesus says, mustard seed size faith is huge in the kingdom of God. He's looking at Peter and said, "You had faith. Why did you doubt? You were doing it, man. You had enough faith to get out of the boat and walk towards me. Why would you doubt that?" And so he picks up Peter. He walks with him back to the boat, and they carry on their way. Friends, little faith is big in the eyes of God. Mustard-sized faith has the power to transform the world. To plant that faith, to water that faith, to let the Lord build that faith in you is significant so that the plant may grow and that the world may see it and come and find refuge in the tree with you. So embrace mustard-sized faith today and see what the Lord will do in you. This has been Burning Hearts with Rachel Herbeck. I'm Pete Burak. Thank you so much for listening. We're going to continue with the parables tomorrow on a Wednesday. God bless you.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at avemariaradio.net and at renewalministries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burak's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.